Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd, Thomas Drantz, Agency Day edition here of the show on Sportsnet 650. Canucks Talk is brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Be a champion on the worksite. Find them together online at dleamc.com. We're live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. We'll go to Jake DeBrusk's Zoom in just a minute here, but before we do that, the Canucks have announced another signing, this time in the goaltending department. Yuri Patera, a two-year, two-way contract to join the Vancouver Canucks. Patera, 25 years old, out of the Czech Republic, 6'3", has 8 career NHL games, played 25 games for the Henderson Silver Knights in the AHL last year.
He's good. I like this guy a lot. I mean, I think
this was someone Woodley mentioned, I know, on Halford and Brough this morning as a potential target.
Yeah, as a guy who fits the mold of an Ian Clark goaltender, you know, which tends to be like not too short, not too tall, right? Like there's like a perfect range between like 6'3 and 6'4 that Clark's typically looking for. Athletic, but technically sound and explosive athletically. I mean, a lot of that stuff that Patera has fits in. He's been a good, not great, American League goaltender, and he's been solid when called upon at the NHL level. I'll be curious to see if this is a two-year, two-way deal the whole way through. Sometimes you see these deals that are like a two-way deal for 1 year and then a one-way deal for another. I'll also be curious to see what the American League valuation is on the two-way because that'll speak volumes. Patera does require waivers. So that's one reason why you'd go – that's why I'm sort of bringing this up, is you go two-way and then one-way, right? So that anyone who's claiming him is looking at like $1 million commitment
– for the next year.
To try and sneak him down in the event that Seelovs does win the battle at training camp. But I'd say Patera's like a really credible option to be an NHL backup next season and sort of puts the Canucks in line to do a variety of different things to manage their goalie platoon.
Jake DeBrusk, one of the newest Canucks, meeting with the media via Zoom right now.
Canadian Press.
Hi, Jake. Thanks so much for doing this today and congratulations. Wondering if you can start out just by telling us what it's taken to get to this point today and how you're feeling about becoming a Canuck.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, it's been a crazy process, obviously, a free agency and going through for the first time. But in saying that, I think in terms of obviously being in Vancouver, they were very aggressive. I knew I had a really good feeling about them. And, we were talking and things of that nature, and things were looking like they were going to hopefully go in the right direction. And, I think it's funny, I woke up pretty early today and felt like a pretty normal day. And then, as soon as I kind of got the confirmation that obviously I was coming here, I was, I've been overwhelmed throughout the whole day. It's been really exciting. And it's something I just can't wait to get to the city and I can't wait to get started. It's, I feel very, very lucky and honored to become a Vancouver Canuck.
Tell me a little bit about what you've seen out of the Canucks, obviously a team you've faced off against lots over the past few years, but what did you see that made you excited to join this particular group?
Yeah, I like the way they play. I think that I obviously was in the Eastern Conference, so I only saw them twice, but they're a hard team to play against. They're similar in that way. I feel like that gives me confidence to know that that's going to be similar systems, but they also have really good players. I think the biggest thing for me is obviously looking at the centerman. I think that's a great opportunity for me to come in and excel. And obviously they got lots of punch there. And I just always found that they were a hard team to play against. And obviously being from Edmonton, I've also watched Vancouver over the years too. So I understand what, the fan base is like. It'll be really, really cool to see that in person, obviously. But there's a lot of things that really came into it, but playing against them, seeing the steps they took this last year, obviously going to game 7 and, I've been there. I understand how that goes, but to get a taste of that, I think really helps a group, grow. And I'm just coming in a position where I want to come and help and try to change the outcome.
Ian McIntyre, Sportsnet.
Hi, Jake. Welcome. I'm glad you know what the fan base is like. So you're coming in, your eyes open. It's a great place to play. A lot of attention, obviously. Two quick questions for you. The first, you're 27. You've got obviously a good body of work behind you. You still got a lot of work left in your career as well. Where do you see the areas of your game that you think you can still be better? Where's the growth for you to come?
Yeah, I think honestly everywhere. I think that's something that it's best league in the world, and there's lots of areas to improve. I think last year I took good steps in my defensive side of the game. I still want to improve on that. Obviously, it's not necessarily pretty when it comes to points and things of that nature, but when you're playing against the top lines every single night, you got to outscore them to win, and your best players always come on top. So I like focusing on that, I would say, in general. But obviously speed's the biggest part of the game nowadays. I think that's one of my best attributes. But I'm constantly working on that because everyone else is getting faster as well. And then just overall, I think consistency. I know that's something that lots of people like to talk about when it comes to me. And it's the, I feel every player deals with different types of consistency issues when it comes to this league. But I think that my habits and things of being a pro every day definitely are something that I'll be very focused on, and even if say production isn't necessarily there at certain points, I know I can help out the team in different ways. So that's kind of how I look at things I'm looking to improve is probably just speed overall in this overall game. It's I feel like I've I have lots of experience, so it's one of those things where I gotta start using that now.
And again, being aware of the market, you'll be well aware that there's going to be tension between Vancouver and Boston for a long time, even though you came well after 2011. I'm just wondering, like, what did it feel like to you? How aware were you of that when Boston would come to play here? And has your phone been blowing up with your Boston friends giving you a hard time about going to Vancouver?
It's been blowing up, but they're actually happy for me, at least from the Boston side of guys. I have lots of good friends over there and guys I've played with for a long time that understood that something like this was probably going to happen, but they're just really excited for me. In terms of the rivalry, I think obviously playing with Marshy and Bergie for the first couple of years, and even Kretch, there's a little bit of that, especially when the fans, especially with Marsh. I mean, that's always pretty obvious, but I like you said, I was after that. Obviously, I remember watching it, but I was not really a part of that kind of a team. So, but it was always interesting seeing how the people reacted around him, which I totally understand.
We'll go to Brennan Bachelor, Sportsnet 650.
Hi, Jake. Welcome to Vancouver. Want to ask you about the power play. You've had some success on the man advantage in Boston. Obviously, you alluded to a couple of the high-end centers, but also a guy like Quinn Hughes and Brock Besser that play on the power play in Vancouver. How exciting could that opportunity be to be a part of that group on the man advantage be for you?
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, I didn't even mention those guys. There's lots of weapons, and obviously in different places, which is really exciting for me to come in and join. In terms of the power play, I played kind of on both units this last year in the playoffs. I was back on the first unit. I've usually played net front. I played a little bit of half wall, sometimes bumper here and there. I think over my career, I've kind of played everywhere. I've probably seen net front's probably more where I've been the most, but. To be honest with you, I think any player would say this. It doesn't really matter where you go on that side of things. At least for me personally, if you're playing with those type of players, I think that if you're out there with them, that's good enough. You go wherever's needed. So, I think that's one thing I guess I'm versatile at in a sense, where I think I can help out in different ways. If things go wrong or things change, I think that's something that is exciting as a guy coming in, to see a possible opportunity there.
And how familiar are you with Rick Tocchet? What have you sort of heard about him? And obviously, joining a team with a reigning Jack Adams Trophy winner has to be exciting from that perspective as well.
Yeah, I've heard lots of great things about him. Obviously, like you said, the Jack Adams and everything. But even from before, there's obviously connections there, and I've heard lots of good things. Obviously, a coach that asks for effort and execution. It's something that I think I thrive in. I think that I've had coaches even from junior that are kind of the same cloth, I guess, in terms of that. And I think it's one of those things that's really rewarding as a player. And I'm really excited to join that. And I've talked to him a couple times, and he's really eager for me to get started. And I think it's one of those things where I'm just really happy to join this group, obviously led by him, and do whatever is needed and whatever is asked.
Jay Janauer, Global BC.
Jake, congratulations. Let's be honest, who's more excited about you signing here, you or your dad, with your dad's connection with Rick?
Well, I mean, my dad is an Edmonton guy, so I'm not exactly sure. We kind of were joking about it, but I would say me, I still think I have the edge over him on that. I know that it was a tough time for him in terms of being on the outside when it came to this decision and everything. But I think I'd have to give myself the edge on that one. But I know he's definitely excited for that as well. Obviously, sorry, excuse me. Obviously, being closer to home too. Get to see them more is something that I took into consideration as well. So we're both pretty excited, I will say.
With your dad having played with Rick, how much did you lean on your dad in terms of, the type of guy that Rick is, and did that have any influence, and what excites you about playing for Rick and his system? Because it seems like you could seamlessly fit in with him.
Yeah, I obviously, and once I kind of figured it might be Vancouver, I was, trying to figure out different things and trying to look into every aspect I could to help make my decision, which, was obviously one of them. And, I heard lots of good things, obviously, from my dad. I trust my dad. And, as a coach, they played together. So obviously, we wasn't coaching, but just even over the years of different things, I think his track record speaks for itself. And I think that anytime you can come into a place like that with a coach like that, you can get better and you can excel and it's someone that you want to listen to. And I think that goes hand in hand with the second part. I think that's like you said, with the systems, it seems like it'll be pretty seamless. Obviously, it's gonna be different. I have only known one system, but at the same time, I think that there's a way to play the game. It's the right way, and that's something that has been ingrained in me since I've been 18.
Ben Kuzma, Post Media.
Welcome to Vancouver. Your dad looks like he can still play. There's evidence on Twitter of him doing the gross grind today in Vancouver. A, does that surprise you? And B, how much of it is an influence on that side of things? Just the conditioning, the physical aspect that you can bring to the ice on given nights and your off-season training.
Yeah, it does surprise me. Seeing him move around like that, I haven't seen that. But he's like you said, he's always been a workout freak in that side of things. I don't know if he does necessarily cardio these days, I would say. Probably just upper body. But he used to love it back in the day. And honestly, I think it's the biggest reason why I'm even in this position today. Going from up the ranks, even when I was a kid, I couldn't have obviously done it without him. He's my biggest reason why I'm here to this day. In terms of just training, in terms of what to kind of expect. It's really nice as an advantage to lean on someone like that where you can talk things through, and obviously he's around the game even nowadays doing color and things of that nature. So we bounce lots of ideas off each other, and he's always been really focused in on that side of things. He was a bigger player when he was playing, obviously a tough guy. But he always wanted to be at certain weights and things like that. So I try to lean on him as much as I can. I mean, I've done this now for this will be my eighth season. I feel like I know what it takes, but there's always room to improve, and it'd be dumb of me not to look for any avenue to get better.
Can you give us a quick scouting report on your former Bruin teammates who are joining you here in Vancouver?
Yeah, I guess I'll start with the hometown guy in Hino. Obviously, we came up together, from the start in Boston, and really good two-way player. I think he's a player that has great poise out there. He makes plays, isn't afraid to make them. I think he's really sound defensively. Obviously, I think his analytics and everything like that can support that. He's a guy that's got a great shot, and he's a good pro. I think that's something that I've always noticed with Hino is how he takes the game and how it's evolved over the years. There was a couple of years we weren't together. But really excited to be with him again. It was nice to have him back this year and so forth. And with Derek, obviously, he's a bigger player, bigger D man that is a good penalty killer. Like, he loves eating pucks. He's a funny dude. He's a little bit of a guy that you got to warm up to in some ways, but he's a funny guy and really good for in and around the room. And they probably would just consider him a defensive defenseman that plays through a lot. So I have a lot of respect for both those guys and really excited they're joining us.
Last one will go to Chris Faber, Canucks.com.
Hey Jake, congratulations on the deal. Wanted to just ask about the last couple of years. It seems like your penalty kill minutes have really gone up a lot. So I'm curious how that kind of developed over your career and how you got to that point of wanting to be a penalty killer.
Yeah, well, I think it was one of those things where You know, when it came down to ice time, you know, I think there was a stretch of game time. I'm not exactly sure how it started off, but I got asked if I'd want a penalty kill, and you know, I didn't want to miss any rotations necessarily. I felt like I, you know, if I wasn't, you know, say playing, you know, if there's penalties, you know, how games go, it's all off scripts, obviously. But there's certain times I just felt like I was on the bench, and I got asked about it, if I'd do it, because I have speed and a good stick, and I was like, you know, why not give it a try. And I think that's something that's I've grown with as years have gone on. Like you said, it's gone up and up and up. And I think that I've become an effective one. I still think I'm learning. I think the defensive side of the game, in terms of what I was even talking about before, especially with the penalty kill, special teams are everything. Special teams, especially in the playoffs, can make or break you. And I want to be a part of that, even on the defensive side, you know, in terms of trying to just to figure out different ways to also help the team out in different ways, even if I'm not producing. I think that's one thing how I took it. And I think that obviously being around a guy like Patrice Bergeron and really good two-way player, obviously probably the best ever, the Selke himself, you know, I have a lot of respect for him, and I really lean on him when I first started penalty killing. And I'm just trying to be hopefully around what he was at for that.
Thank you, Jake, and thank you all for joining us. That will conclude this.
That is the newest Canuck, or one of the newest Canucks, Jake DeBrusk, speaking to the media via Zoom. And we expect to be joined very shortly by Jake DeBrusk on this show for a one-on-one or a two-on-one interview, I guess.
Hey, he's got big shoes to fill, replacing Nikita Zadorov as a primary interview target for Canucks media. Good start.
Good start.
Good start. I saw a tweet, by the way, from a Canucks fan that said, "Suddenly I find Nikita Zadorov's personality grating and unprofessional now that he's signed in Boston." I thought that was great. But yeah, no, like, what a well-spoken kid.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, of course, excellent. Western Canadian roots out of Edmonton. Talked about, of course, Louis DeBrusk, who's a Hockey Night in Canada color commentator, and that connection, and had some chirps for him about his lack of cardio work as well, although apparently Louis was doing the gross grind out in Vancouver. So, Jake, we'll have a chance to do the gross grind come training camp as well for the Vancouver Canucks. Again, DeBrusk signing the 7-year, $5.5 million AAV deal to come play for the Vancouver Canucks. And hopefully we'll connect with Jake in just a moment here. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. You can get your thoughts in. And, you know, lots of texts coming in, people debating the day the Canucks have had so far. I do think Josh and Grand Prairie made a good point here. Is it unfair to compare a post-trade deadline team to a free agency team? Shouldn't we compare the roster today to the team we iced day one of the season? We still have trade deadline to get better yet again. I think that's fair. Like, I understand why teams always want, you know, fans always want the work to be done as quickly as possible, right? So you can kind of see the finished product. But I also understand, again, if you're stressed about losing Lindholm and Zadorov, which, fair enough, they both did really good things for the team, they weren't on the team at this time last year, right? They joined mid-season of last year. So there is real value to be had from maintaining your flexibility. And again, we have seen this management group go out and aggressively add the pieces that they think they need during the season. I see no reason why we would expect anything less from them going forward here either.
Yeah, well, and they're actually set up to do it more easily this time around. I mean, last time you had to launder Anthony Beauvillier's contract through Chicago, and then you had to, you know, trade out Kuzmenko. Like, you had to move a $5.5 million salary to bring in Lindholm at the deadline. They were pressed up against the cap, and this time, at least now, right now, today, with really just like an obvious need for a backup goaltender and a third pair right-handed defender, right? Like, those would be, and even that third pair right-handed defender you could quibble with if you want to like bang the table and be like, between Juleson, McWard, and Friedman, the Canucks can surely cobble together a decent third pair play. You know, and I actually buy that, to be totally honest with you, but you know, I still think some additional defensive depth and another backup goalie, I think, would be like the only pressing needs that you'd love. Or sorry, they already got the backup goalie.
Yeah,
what am I even talking about?
Yeah.
So they're full.
So there's a good chance that they're kind of, their work is done. Their shopping is done here, unless something really, really enticing comes along.
Let me tell you something. Their shopping should be done. And their shopping should be done, not because there aren't.
With the caveat of, unless we'll see what materializes when the market settles down. Right. And then where the bargains,
I'm not saying their
start
shopping should be done for the summer.
Right.
I'm saying their shopping should be done for today, because even the guys who like, look, there's sometimes what will happen on free agency day is like a guy will be slipping through the cracks and doesn't seem to have like a lot of action, and mm-hmm. maybe you can get him for 2 years at $1.5 million. You know what I mean? Because there's just not a lot going on there. If there's an opportunity like that, sure. But for the most part, those guys are still going to be on the market in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and actually then they're available for 2 years at $1 million, right? So I just think the Canucks should keep their powder dry now. You do still have some needs. I still want to see them add some speed on the back end, but, you know, for the most part, I do think a lot that they've positioned themselves to be flexible during the season and make those moves, capitalize on those opportunities that come about more simply. And, you know, I mean, I think they've at least maintained their quality, give or take, like within, you know, within like a standard deviation sure. or two, which we can quibble about and argue about all summer long.
Yes, absolutely, and I can't wait to do that. And again, Jake DeBrusk, the biggest signing of the day for the Canucks, but they also add Danton Heinen and Kiefer Sherwood at forward, Derek Forbort on the blue line, and then the goalie, Yuri Patera. And the goalie, we just touched on it really briefly, but, you know, 25 years old, he only has 8 NHL games to his name, but a guy Woodley had mentioned as a potentially interesting target, fits a lot of what Ian Clark likes in his netminders. And I think just an interesting mix of upside, a little bit of security, but also the cost likely being manageable, not having to go into that, you know, established veteran backup tier to get it done. We don't know the exact numbers yet on Patera, but it was a 2-year, two-way deal.
By the way, it sounds like the Canucks, Ilya Samsonov, Maple Leafs goaltender, is going to head to the Vegas Golden Knights to replace, you know, Yuri Patera. Mm-hmm. They also traded for Akira Schmidt. I haven't seen if they actually got that deal done, but they're expected to at some point. I think the Canucks were in on Samsonov, by the way, but I think he's going to come in at a price point higher than what they were comfortable with. I like Patera a lot, man. That there's a chance that's one of their best signings. There's a chance that's their best signing of the day, given the development work that this organization is capable of doing with goaltenders and, you know, what I've seen of Patera's raw talent. I think he's a good puck stopper. Not that I know anything about goaltenders. I think you look at this and say the Canucks hit like a stand-up double and a couple of singles, and that's probably all they absolutely needed to do.
Yeah.
That said, you know, I do think they were prepared to come into July 1 swinging
for
a home run.
Absolutely.
And, you know, as the first inning of this offseason, or I guess it's more like the fourth inning of this offseason ends, you know, they've had a good rally as opposed to, you know, having iced the game.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. We're hoping to connect with Jake DeBrusk here for an interview on Canucks Talk. So hopefully we can get that going, and we'll continue to read your text. 650-650. Final segment of our coverage coming up. Bick and Randeep are on with the People Show at noon for continued free agency coverage here on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Bick Nizar. Have your say and join me on the People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets weekdays 3 to 4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650 here. It's Jamie Dodd and Thomas Strantz. We are live from the Kintech Studio. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line, and we are now very pleased to be joined on the line by one of the newest Canucks. He is forward Jake DeBrusk. Jake, thanks very much for doing this with us, and first of all, congratulations on the new deal. How does it feel to be a member of the Vancouver Canucks?
Yeah, thank you, man. It's been an amazing day. It's been honestly a whirlwind, and you could say all the cliches. It's been go, go, go since it's been announced, but I'm really just excited. Yeah, it's been a crazy day, but a good day at that, that's for sure.
Jake, we heard you during your general Vancouver Zoom call with the media, and you mentioned the connections you've got with head coach Rick Tocchet. Now, obviously, we know your dad and Rick were teammates back in Arizona. Do you have any Tocchet stories from growing up? Like, do you remember being around the rink at 3 or 4 or whenever you were, however old you were when your dad played for the Coyotes?
I don't remember that young, obviously. To be honest with you, I think the first memory I have of being at the rink when I was little, I got high stick playing mini sticks, actually. I was a paper, I remember that. So, yeah, I was bleeding. It was a nosebleed, and I think I
ate it off pretty well, but in the story, it looked like I was crying pretty good. So that's probably the first memory I have of being around. So sadly, no, I don't have any stories. Maybe my dad or Rick will tell me a couple, maybe. Depends, obviously, I guess now. But yeah, I remember being around the rink. I know I was around the rink all the time, but first one was getting high-sticked, which is funny.
With you also talked about your experience as a penalty killer and everything you learned over the course of your sort of early career, especially playing with Patrice Bergeron. I mean, how much was that guy like a player coach almost with how he played the game?
Yeah, I think especially towards, you know, the end, obviously, when he was the captain, I think he definitely was a little bit more vocal. He wasn't necessarily a guy that was screaming and shouting. He was more, you know, when he spoke, everyone listened. And but at the same time, he's always trying to help people out. And I think that's, like you said, he was a player coach, especially towards the end, in the terms of just trying to help everybody be better. And also, at the same time, sometimes, you know, you just watch him in practice and you can learn. You know, some of the best players in the league, even guys like David Pastrnak, you know, you try to take anything you can from any of these guys that you see every single day and what their habits are and things of that nature. And you know, I think it was one of those things that he took very seriously. I think that's something that, obviously, I think, well, at least in Boston, we call him Selke just in general because he literally has won the most, I think, ever. So they should rename that after him because he was, I think that's something that all players can do. But, you know, it takes time. You got to make some mistakes. You got to kind of learn the ropes because it is the best league in the world and you're trying to stop other guys, right?
Yeah, in terms of that defensive side of things, I mean, You obviously would have had a lot of teams interested in signing you of how productive you've been recently in Boston. You choose the Canucks, and you know, I know obviously you're in the Eastern Conference, so you only play them a couple times. You're not necessarily locked in on what they're doing. But over this last season, how much did you take note of how much the Canucks improved, and not just improved in terms of results, but kind of how much they changed their identity as a team under Rick Tocchet over this last year? Was that something that really stood out to you?
It is. Honestly, it was. They were hard out, especially in Vancouver. Like you said, we only see them twice a year, and I've always thought that they've had really good skilled players. Obviously, you know, from top to bottom, they have guys that can dominate the game in different ways. But I think this year when we played against them, I think it was kind of midway through the year, just before the trade deadline, if I had to remember correctly. But they were hard out. They played the game the right way. I felt like they were all lines kind of played similar, and obviously with different types of sets and things of that nature, but they're a fast team that plays hard, and I think those are the teams that give you trouble, especially, you know, coming from another kind of defensive team. That's what we try to do, or we have done, I guess, or in the past. It's something that, you know, it's almost like a stalemate type of game, which you don't get much unless the team's obviously really dialed in from the coaching staff on. So that's something that really intrigued me with this match.
Jake, if I recall your game in Vancouver from this past year, it involved a late Canucks third period comeback. And I just remember feeling sorry because I knew that your club was having its rookie party afterwards. I was like, oh, man, I hope that doesn't mess with the green light. I guess you guys had a good time anyway, since you ended up signing here.
Yeah, no, I mean, it wasn't anything like that. I think I actually helped them out, actually, if you don't remember correctly. I think in overtime, I might have jumped a little early. So enjoyed the extra point, boys. That was a little, I don't know if that's colluding at this point. I mean, it's a good way to look at it now. You know what I mean? Yeah, I think I jumped a little early. That's why I think Besser had the overtime winner. That was a dagger going in the rookie party. Yeah, thanks for that one. But yeah, see, you know what? You make mistakes, you live and you learn, right? That's funny how things work out. It is.
You talked about, too, the appeal of getting to play with some of Vancouver's wildly skilled centermen. And, you know, beyond the sort of idea of building chemistry and all of the things that you'll focus on once camp starts and practices and you get a chance to meet everybody, but the way that this team plays, with the emphasis on sort of speed and forechecking off the wing, Did you pay attention to that when you were playing against this team last year? Did you note it as something that might be an especially good fit for your skill set?
Yeah, I think any team that forechecks really hard will have success. I think that's the biggest thing, and that's something as a player myself I like to do. Obviously, I like to get in on there and get those kind of greasy areas when I'm on top of my game. I use my speed effectively that way. But I think that is something that as a other team playing against, you know, you're not breaking down your zone. You know, you're watching the play, you know, as a winger, you're sitting there, you're watching it below your goal line. really good teams possess down there. They make plays down there, and obviously they have enough skill off the rush where that's something that's always been a threat with playing against, I guess, Vancouver in the past. But I did honestly notice, especially this year, where it was a little bit different type of wave coming at you, where you're a little bit helpless as a winger sometimes because, that's how we played our system. You can't really go in there and dive in there because if you do, you got Hughes at the point just walking around you. So there's a lot of different ways of threats that this team can operate. And I'm really happy just to add another one. I'm happy to join that. And I didn't really look at it too fine in the sense of, trying to picture what team I was going to be on because at that point I was obviously on Boston. But I did notice how the game actually went in the sense of feeling a little bit helpless at times, which is something I want to join. It's not a good feeling.
And I'm sure you also watched this team somewhat closely in the playoffs, given your Edmonton roots. When you see a team have success, just as a free agent, for speaking obviously from the experience that you've just gone through yourself, but also sort of more generally for how it's viewed by NHL players, when you see a team that's still got some young players and that sort of is having success and playing, as you put it, the right way, and you see them sort of perform in the playoffs, how much does that shape decision making in terms of what team you want to be part of?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it does in the sense of understanding, especially for, I guess, free agents, obviously we've been around the league for a long time at that point, hopefully. But, I think it gives you a chance to succeed. It gives you a chance to join a playoff ready team, a contending team. It gives you options as a player, which is what we all want. We all want to win the game. We all want to win the Stanley Cup. And, I think that for me was my biggest focus coming to free agency. I think I said it even right after the season was over. I'm coming here to win. That's what I want to do. I want to go to a team that's ready to win. And, I have no less expectation than that. I'm doing everything in my power to help with that. At the same point, I think it does bring more traction. Obviously, Vancouver is a great city. Like you said, taking steps in terms of playoffs and things of that nature. That for me was a huge point of emphasis. That's one of the things that I had them circled even before we started talking.
And Jake, for you as an individual, you've played almost 500 career NHL games, another 86 in the playoffs on top of that, going year after year with Boston, but you're also only 27, right? So you've got a lot, you signed the 7-year deal. You got a lot of hockey in front of you. What are the kind of next steps in terms of rounding out your game and continuing to develop that you want to take?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is just getting better in just all aspects of the game. Obviously, this is a change, it's a new team, and finding, where the groove fits and everything like that is the first objective. And then from that point on, honestly, doing whatever I can to, be best for the team, whether it's on certain sides of the penalty kill or the power play. I think just rounding out everything about your game. As you play games, as you play more games in the league, you understand what kind of works for you. You understand your strengths and your weaknesses, and obviously, you try to attack your weaknesses to make them not as noticeable or not as effective against you. So I think the biggest thing for me is just trying to get faster. I really want to come in and be flying. And at the same point, I think just overall offensively, I have a lot of room to grow. I think that I've kind of taken a little bit of a step back in that in the last couple of years. And even still then, I think even with a broken hand last year, putting 19, I know I can do more. So I'm really excited about that part. That's the fun part. But the other part is, what can I do to help this team win the best of my ability is kind of the overall goal that I'll have throughout these 7 years.
Jake, I'm curious just to hear you sort of talk about your season and some of what you've overcome. I mean, one thing that's been notable sort of about your emergence, especially over the last 3 years, was sort of the consistency that you were able to graft onto your game. After maybe a couple more challenging years in the middle portion of your career, what's sort of been behind that? Is it as simple as growing up, or is there things that you had to do differently to become the player you've been pretty consistently over the last few seasons?
I think it's a bit of both. I think that honestly, it takes time. You have to, like I said, I think you have to make mistakes. You have to be able to come back from those too. You got to be resilient. You got to believe in yourself. You got to have faith, obviously. Like you said, the middle part of the COVID year and everything, when everything went, sideways, there's a lot of things that come at you. And obviously I didn't necessarily handle it the best I wanted to, but it made me learn a lot about myself. And you got to change certain habits. You got to change different ways to go about it. You're playing for your life. This is your dream. And it's one of those things that obviously consistency is always talked about with me, but I think in general, my game itself, even at a C level, I can help the team out in different ways now than I used to be able to when I was younger. If I wasn't scoring when I was younger, I wasn't really bringing much, to be honest with you, I don't think. I might be being hard on myself, but nowadays, yeah, way to sell it. Eh? But now I honestly feel like I could affect it on both sides of the puck, which is, I think, arguably even harder. And I'm still learning, and I'll get better at that. And my best hockey is yet to come. Mm. I'm really excited to do it in Vancouver. Yeah, way to sell. You like that? Eh?
No, I do. Yeah, that was good. I was honestly going to say, like, man, I was watching you skate fast and hit guys. Like, come on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think you were too hard on yourself.
At least my terms of my game. What I mean.
Jake, you're not making the move alone, right? A couple of Boston teammates coming with you, Danton Heinen and Derek Forbort, and of course Danton Heinen, local product. So is he going to be the official tour guide and hook you and Derek Forbort up with all the local hotspots here coming to Vancouver?
100%. I'm going to be leaning on Heinen. 100%. Yeah, he's always, you know what, we came in together and he's always talked about Vancouver, and it's special to play for your hometown. We had a couple of guys on Boston do that. I'm really excited he gets to do that. And obviously coming into our team on a PTO last year and just kind of having the year he had to get this type of deal, I'm really, really proud of him, really happy for him. And Forby's going to just follow me around, I think. I think he's just going to try to stay wherever I'm staying. I'm actually trying to stay away from that guy as long as I can. No, I'm playing. But, yeah, I think that we'll be definitely leaning on him for some dinner spots. I know there's lots of good ones in Vancouver, that's for sure. So that'll be exciting, and but I'll lean on him for any intel I need, I guess. He knows it best.
And rare circumstances, but then your former team, the Boston Bruins, signed two Canucks, two ex-Canucks in Nikita Zadorov and Elias Lindholm. Are you comfortable suggesting that Vancouver has won this unconventional trade?
Put me on the spot right away, hey?
Vancouver media. You know, you'll be used to it. Heard all about that Vancouver media, right?
Yeah, good point. Used to you guys being nice to me for now. So maybe I'll give you what you want. I don't know. Hey, you know what? Time will tell. I wish them the best. I have no ill will on those guys in Boston. No, you know, I wish them honestly the best. At the same time, you know, I'm just worried about what we're doing over here, and I think they got some pretty hungry guys coming in and joining an already amazing team, so... That is the most polite way I'll
say. Yeah, a very diplomatic answer, Jake. Hey, Jake, really appreciate the time today. Thank you for doing this, and congratulations again on the deal. Welcome to Vancouver. We look forward to seeing you in the fall.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
That is one of the newest Canucks forward, Jake DeBrusk. What a great interview.
Newest Canucks forward and newest go-to quote.
Yeah,
Jake
absolutely.
DeBrusk.
Very, really thoughtful answers, and obviously his guy who's put a ton of thought into, as you said, overcoming a bit of a tougher section in the middle of his career, right? Coming in, you know, first round pick, of course, with Boston, came in, had a lot of immediate success, a little bit of struggles with inconsistency, and then obviously, you know, had to think through some things and did so successfully to become the very consistent player he has been over the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this guy's at the end of the day, this guy's a fringe top of the lineup, like a fringe first line rate goal scorer, mm-hmm. right? His finishing ability, finishing comes and goes for all but like the Ovechkin Stamkos mutants in the NHL, right? Like it's really rare to find a guy, Draisaitl. It's really rare to find like a consistent 25 goal guy, but this guy's been a pretty consistent 25 goal guy. He obviously made an immediate impact as a rookie, right? And not just that he had 43 points in his very first NHL season, but like scored big goals in the playoffs, you know, like just made this huge impact right away when he joined the league. And what we sometimes see and sometimes say, right, like development's not always linear, but he followed that up with like a less productive run to the Stanley Cup final in 2019 with the Bruins. Then there was some very public clashes with Bruce Cassidy. He spent years almost in like Vancouver Canucks style, sort of at the tip of the tongue of trade rumors. And, you know, what's sort of come out of that ultimately, I think, is you've got a player who, you know, certainly the last 3 years has found, you know, I think what he said was really interesting. The idea that his C game is better.
Mm.
The idea that even when he's not like feeling it, even when not every puck is going in, even when he's playing injured, right, he finds ways to impact the game. And I think that's the side of it. Like, the finishing ability matters, I think, especially because the Canucks had so many of those minutes last season where it was like a top six forward, or, you know, not a top six forward playing in the top six, and they get this glorious scoring opportunity that, you know, JT Miller or Pettersson in the first half set up, and it was just like you knew it wasn't likely to score.
Yep.
And DeBrusk's the quality of finisher where that's you're not going to feel like that. Like DeBrusk at the side of the net, DeBrusk with a breakaway, like not that he's going to score every one because that's not how hockey works, but he's a real threat to fill the net in those situations. It's going to be a big upgrade, I think, for whichever line that he plays with. But I do think it's the consistency of work rate that he's sort of discussing that you've seen come on the last couple of years where, you know, you're watching these Bruins games and, you know, they've got so many puck dominant wingers, guys like Marchand, guys like Pasternak. They used to have Krejci and Bergeron and company. And, you know, I don't know that he was like the offensive driver on those lines, but the way that he would get after defenders on the forecheck, mm-hmm. the way that he could disrupt breakouts, some of the physicality in his game. I mean, that was all the discipline with which he was going to the net. That was the stuff that you started to see, I think, sort of, especially over the last 2.5 seasons for him. And I think that's made a big difference. Now, you know, continuing that and then marrying that to enhanced opportunity, especially on the power play, you know, I think that's going to be an interesting sort of learning curve here. But, you know, one thing, and I had a league source reach out to me who loves the deal from a Vancouver perspective, calling it one of the best that they thought they saw in the league. And their point was this, was that it's so difficult to have a deal that has to sign a deal on July 1 that has even a whisper shot at providing surplus value.
Yeah.
Right? Really, you're just trying to look for deals that aren't obvious overpays.
Yes. That you're not already like rationalizing the back half of the day you sign it, right?
Right.
Like, oh, well, hey, at least the first couple of years will be good, right? That's what mostly how you have to rationalize free agency deals.
But at the very least with DeBrusk, given his age, right, and given some of the limitations on the opportunities that he's received in Boston, and some of what, again, Jake was telling us about, the sort of more well-roundedness of his game, the development of his C game, his sort of still nascent maturity in this league. Given that, there is a relatively straightforward path to him providing actual surplus value mm-hmm. on a 7-year deal. That's not to minimize the risk of the deal or the fact that, you know, I think a reasonable first reaction on seeing the valuation is like, oh, that's, you know, maybe 500K in a couple years more than ideal. But like, that's free agency.
That's
what July 1 works looks like. At the very least, this is a deal with a deal where the Canucks have signed a player that doesn't just fit their system, but actually does have a relatively straightforward chance of being more in Vancouver than he was in Boston. I think that's why the Canucks pursued him the way they did, although we'll hear from Patrick Alvin later today, and I'm sure he'll walk us through it at greater length. And, you know, I think hearing him speak, a lot of what he's saying, a lot of how he views the game, a lot of how he's been thoughtful about the game, it's like you can hear sort of see the gears turning in his head that have sort of got him to this point.
Well, and one of the things we heard from Patrick Alvin and Rick Tocchet at the end of the season was that they want their players to do exactly that process that Jake DeBrusk just described, right? To figure out how to compete, to continue to impact the game even when you're not at your best, to manage your health throughout the season, manage your energy levels so you're ready to go in the playoffs, right? And I just in terms of fit, I think you really got a sense of, and again, when you look at, you know, 80 plus playoff games already in his career, of course, he's there every year with the Bruins, right? That process of figuring it out, battling through inconsistency, adding more elements to his game, all of those kind of intangible fits make a ton of sense from a Canucks perspective. We didn't ask him specifically about the power play, but I know it came up when he was on the Zoom call with the assembled media, which you heard here on the station as well. And this text comes in, is he the answer for the bumper spot? And of course, a need we had highlighted going into the day, going into free agency for the Canucks, was a fourth forward for the top power play, of course, with Lindholm departing. And I don't think they signed Jake DeBrusk with an eye to, okay, he rounds out the power play, but I think he's going to get the first shot at it. He's the logical person to be the fourth forward on the power play, the fifth guy on the power play. And as he mentioned on the Zoom call, you know, he's done most of his work at the net front. with the way that Tocchet wants them moving and to be more dynamic, I think, yeah, he absolutely has some potential upside to fit in on the Canucks power play first unit.
I mean, who else are you putting there?
It's like him, Garland Joshua, Suter. Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll get first shot.
Well, of course he will. And I mean, I think he should. I think he should, because I do think with the way that they operate at their most dangerous, you know, you're always going to have, you know, Miller at that downhill side flank, right? That
mm-hmm.
Left side flank. And that pass is always going to work best into a lefty, especially if there's like high-low interplay between him and Besser. You've either got the righty or the lefty direct to another left-handed shooter. Like, that's always going to be, I think, a really crucial weapon. So I think that gives DeBrusk and Joshua, to a lesser extent, although I think if Joshua, if you're putting him on the power play, you want him to just sell out on retrievals and be a net front guy, take goalie's eyes and use those hands in tight, which we saw all throughout last season. So yeah, no, it's interesting. I think he'll get a shot there. I think operating in the bumper, you know, for example, in Boston for years, like, Bergeron was one of the best in the world,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's not like that's a place, as he said, he's mostly played the net front. There'll be a learning curve there, but, you know, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. It's again, it's not really about what the power play does in October and November. I mean, until it is, if you don't start the way you need to. But it's much more important that the Canucks have some punch to their power play the way they really didn't with any with sufficient frequency in the postseason. By the way, we've talked a lot about, like, the arbitrary decisions, the arbitrary factors that go into shaping player decision making mm-hmm. in unrestricted free agency. Quote from the Athletic colleague that I just want to read. Victor Arvidsson is from Northern Sweden. Sounds like he's excited to come to Edmonton. It's going to be fun and exciting, he said, to have some snow again.
That's amazing. That's an all-time quote. He's like, I want a bleak, flat, wintry landscape. That's what I'm looking for. Reminds me of home.
There you go.
The tundra is calling me.
You never know what's going to matter to a guy. It's unbelievable.
Well, and look, he's not a hometown guy, but Jake DeBrusk, Western Canadian as well. I'll say another factor, and, you know, he was even, like, obviously very, very comfortable speaking to the media, as you heard from Jake DeBrusk, even going so far as to, you know, joke about, oh, the Vancouver media, I was warned about it. This guy played in Boston, not a Canadian market, but if you're, you know, if it's the closest thing, probably, or one of the closest things,
no, Buffalo,
you can get to a Canadian market, but Boston's right there, right? Like, I don't think he's going to be
there. I'm saying there's the Canadian markets and Buffalo,
mm-hmm.
and then I think there's a pretty significant teardrop till you get to, like, Chicago, Detroit,
Boston. But still,
yeah,
not as if this guy is coming from.
It's a top 10 demanding hockey market.
Yeah,
no
and
question.
Again, with, like, Western Canadian roots, I think he is going to.
And they have accents when they make fun of you. It's hard.
That's tough.
Yeah,
it's tough to deal with.
The first time I was at the Beanpot, and the first time a Boston area scout came and was like, because it was during the 2019-20 season, and I'd been stumping for Quinn Hughes for the Calder.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a Boston scout hit me on the who I know, like, I know him well, hits me on the shoulder and is just like, well, he called me an effing homer, and it's Kale McCarr's better. And it's just like, oh man, being chirped when someone has a, like, Southie accent it's just so mean.
Anyway, my point was, we always talk about the you know, the intense media environment, is it scaring free agents away? And I think with DeBrusk, you can clearly see that there's going to be a comfort there, right? Not that it's a draw necessarily for him, but he understands what it's like to play in a hot market, to play in a team with a ton of pressure on it, and clearly displaying that comfort being in the spotlight, talking to the media, both with the general media and on our show. Okay, that wraps it up for us today. Bick Nizar and Randeep Janda are coming up next. They will continue free agency coverage of the Vancouver Canucks and the NHL. I expect that Derek Forbort, new defenseman signing for the Vancouver Canucks, will join Bick and Randeep very, very shortly. So stay tuned for that. We're back on our normal time tomorrow, live from Canucks Development Camp at UBC. So tune in for that at noon tomorrow, right here on Sportsnet 650.